Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto Home Life Business. RV, motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be, they will make sure that you are completely covered and get the best price. They are the pros in insurance and other areas. They're just great people who just do a great job. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, and a great service department's looking for more techs. All right, Matt, a little jump in your step today. Maybe Matt Cottrell, I mean, the jump in his step.
What a way to start the week.
Oh, you are excited. I could tell. Yeah, I could just tell. I mean, the excitement, it's all there.
Oh, yeah. Got this. It's game week.
This is what you've been wanting. This has been what you've been hoping for. A number two quarterback announced for the opening week on a week-by-week basis. And not only that, it's not a veteran. Your reason to live jumped exponentially.
Sometimes material presents itself.
I was only surprised he said it. Like, okay. Hey, and James does things. He does everything for a reason and a purpose. Because remember, he volunteered it. Right? So, he has his reasons. Perfectly fine with me. I knew, though, the second he said it, that you would be doing cartwheels all over the station. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're not that far off.
Okay. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Snap back. Casey steps, throws, in and out of the hands and intercepted. Off the hands of Wyatt Lever and picked off by Northwestern, and the Wildcats are going to win this opening game.
Incredible.
Xander Mueller got the deflected ball and pulled it away.
Incredible. A chance to go tie it or win. It's a quick throw into the right slot.
My good friends, Greg Sharp, I think it's Matt Davidson with him too. Greg's a great guy. So's Matt. Tough one. I'm mystified about the onside kick, to be honest with you. You're up 28-17. All right. You got control of what you're doing, and Northwestern is struggling going the length of the field. I don't know why you'd risk a short field. But sometimes you outthink yourself. Scott Frost outthought himself. That's me. You don't have to prove to me you're a great coach. Just coach the game. Okay. Gee, I wonder what topic I'm going to get to first with Thomas Frank Carr. Maybe we'll talk about, maybe not the starting quarterback, the guy with the clipboard. What do you think?
We got to.
Let's bring in T. Frank. Great to have you back, my friend.
I'm doing good, Steve. How are you doing this fine Monday with football in the air?
It's about time.
Yeah, for real.
It's enough of the talking part. All right, let's just get to it. Let's watch some games. Okay, so obviously we know what the big story is today, and that's, you know, that Gabe and Sander are going to split kickoff. No, Drew Aller obviously is going to be the will be the number two quarterback for game one. What'd you think?
Well, I think that, and this is deserved. I'm going to start with a joke, but it's a deserved conversation about a guy that we're not going to see play on Thursday. So, you know, this is a big conversation today, and then if everything goes right for Penn State, we're not going to see Drew Aller Thursday or Friday or, you know, any day of the week. But
you could see him four times.
Yes, that's true. That, you know, you can say him up to four times in certain games this year. But, you know, in those situations, I think Penn State will have the game in the bag, and we'll get to see, you know, the backups and Drew in those situations. But really, it's just an interesting journey for what we've heard and what we've seen of Drew from high school to college and the early spring part of, spring football and everything we heard, where this was not the case early in his development from what we were told and what we saw. Didn't have a great blue-white game. Things were slow for him because he really is a quarterback that needs to grasp the playbook, because that's where all of his talents lie, is in the passing side of things. Not to say that he isn't a good scrambler, because he is. He manipulates the pocket very well, but he's not a runner. So the mental side of the game, which is going to be slow for any quarterback, that catching up is an important factor. And to me, this is a sign that he's ahead of schedule. Because what I've said all offseason is, and I think this is a fair assessment, football is a very hard game for football players to know all the things you need to know to be able to play. And the fact that he, as the quarterback who needs to know everything, is in the second position, that means that they're confident that if something happens to Sean Clifford, he can go in and functionally operate the offense. And that sounds like that's not a lot, but that is a lot. That's a lot to be able to do, especially if you're the backup.
Let's get to Aiden O'Connell for a moment. You've done a lot of quarterback breakdown. He's a sixth-year quarterback, former walk-on himself, 72% passer. What do you see in him and how Purdue approaches its pass game?
I love watching him throw the ball because he's what I want every college quarterback to be, and that is fearless, because he will put the ball into just about any window, and that is both a good and a bad thing for Purdue. Now, it's much more good than bad because he pushes, as James Franklin talked about today, the vertical passing game is a big part of what Purdue wants to do. And if you can get those explosive plays through the passing game, that's a huge benefit to your offense and, you know, and to having a winning formula in college football. So last season, that was a huge part of what he brought to the table. And the difference from Purdue in previous years to O'Connell is he's willing to put the ball into those windows. And I wouldn't say he has an exceptional arm. I wouldn't say he's an exceptional talent. As a guy who's a sixth-year quarterback, you know, respectfully in these situations, I know injuries, and there can be a number of reasons you're a sixth-year quarterback. But typically, if you're not a third-year quarterback going to the NFL or a fourth-year guy, there's a reason you were in college. And he still produces at a level, and he still makes throws at a level that are exceptional for the college level. And he's able to put the ball into windows downfield because of that anticipation, that in understanding, and a good zip on the football that a lot of quarterbacks just aren't brave enough to make. So that bravery is what is going to get Purdue into all the games that they're in this year. And that's going to win them a couple games, might get them up some upsets. But on the flip side, he also is a player that has fearless confidence in his arm when he probably shouldn't. And you can get the ball from him. So to me, forcing him into those situations, making him uncomfortable, and having him still throw the football, that is the key to Penn State's success on Thursday.
Well, there's another part to that. I mean, they run a lot of quick game. A lot of quick game. And you've got to be able to right away make a read at the line of scrimmage and get rid of it. He seems to do that really well. And it cuts down, you know, it, it increases your completion percentage, and it cuts down on the interceptions when you're running quick game.
Yeah, and so the thing about their offense is they run quick game, but they can do less quick game and go more vertical, and they can attack.
Right.
Purdue can do a little bit of everything, and that's one of the nice things that you're right about the quick game and throwing the ball and making those pre-snap reads, but it's not just quick game. A lot of times you can do predetermined reads or give the quarterback an easy concept, or even if it's an RPO and it's kind of a simple either you give it or you pull it and you throw it, they can do any of those things because O'Connell is a very smart quarterback. So that's the threat.
Yeah,
that whatever you do, they can find a way to counter and punch back.
Because one of their concerns right now is David Bell was outstanding at 50-50 balls. I think that's fair to say. I mean, great. Their concern in camp is they don't feel like their receivers are as great at 50-50 balls. Now, they're not David Bell, but that is a part of their game.
Yeah, and so the tight end,
Payne Durham is outstanding. He's really good.
Yes. He's the one guy. He's the known commodity. And that's when you've seen Purdue be successful and this formula work. You know, they've had some exceptional receivers going back to Rondale Moore and you know, so on and so forth. You know the names of the receivers that are good. We don't know who they are this year, but they still have this ability to produce yards and points for the most part.
Right.
So, you know, I think O'Connell and the way he plays and Brohm and the way he calls the game, they alleviate some of those problems. But it absolutely is a problem. If you don't have a guy that can elevate the play of everybody and make the quarterback look good in those situations where he throws the ball into a window, because you're right, those 50-50 balls, those balls down the sideline, he does not care. He'll just, if it's one-on-one and that's his read, he'll throw the ball up there. And his placement isn't always perfect, but if you have a receiver that can go get it, that's, you know, that's a winning formula. If they don't have that, they lose that part of the game this year, which is a factor heading into this game. So I'm interested to see who the receiver is this year. You know, like who's going to be the guy that steps up and makes plays, because O'Connell will throw the ball to anybody who's open. And is it more of a spread the wealth this year, or is it there going to be a design to get somebody the ball regularly? And we don't know who that is yet because, as you pointed out, there's nobody that seems to have stepped up yet.
Well, and there's another part. Jeff Brohm is obviously somebody that over the years has been noted for the pass game. When you look at him schematically, what do you like about him?
I like everything, you know?
Yeah.
I like a lot of what they do because, and like I said earlier, they do a little bit of everything. So they can line up under center, they can go spread, and they got creative last year trying to run the football. And that is both a blessing and a curse, because I think they use creative ways to get the, you know, to run the football, but they're desperately finding creative ways to run the football because they can't run it in a traditional sense. So when it comes to the scheme, two things stand out is that I don't see a lot of mistakes. So they're well coached. The quarterback is smart. He makes good decisions. And the play caller, I like that when I see a defense defeat his plan A, he can quickly go back to the quick game, like you talked about. If they're not getting the ball down the field vertically, he'll switch to the quick game. They'll run RPO. They can add in motion into their offense. So any trick that they need, he can dial it up and they can execute it. But the problem is, obviously, that they need to go to plan B and C sometimes because they're not fully executing plan A because the talent or the situation wasn't favorable for them in that situation.
Obviously, O'Connell, what kind of job does he do when they go tempo?
So, you know, that's a lot of directing at the line of scrimmage, and tempo is a lot of set plays. It's more so about the quickness of the decisions, but I think a lot of the decisions in those tempo situations come from the sideline, and you're just not doing the check with me's and you're running the play, but you've got to be able to operate and orchestrate and have awareness. And that's another layer of his game, that maturity to know what to do in all those situations. It was actually interesting what James Franklin said today about the tempo and about if you're just watching the coach's film, if you're just watching the cut-ups, I have some friends who have access to those things, and I know you probably have seen this at times where you're looking at just kind of the antiseptic version of here's the play from this angle, here's the play from this angle.
Yep.
If you don't watch the game live, you don't see the speed at which these things happen and kind of that nature of the game. So it is a very interesting thing from a prep standpoint that you need to be able to experience that and watch the way they operate and orchestrate things, because, you know, I do think it is a part of their game. But like I said, it's another tool in what they do as far as the diversity of this offense, which I think is really the strength.
Yeah, because, I mean, you need to be, as a coordinator or as somebody who's in charge of personnel packages, if you get a read on how many seconds between snaps, you're not going to get that in the all 22, because when they're done, they go to the next play. So you actually do it. You need to watch the TV copy. There's no question about that. What are you looking for on Thursday night?
So, you know, I always hate to boil this down to basics, but we got 2 6-year quarterbacks playing. And Aiden O'Connell, you know, you could make the argument that if Sean Clifford was in the same offense for 3 or 4 years, he might have a similar profile as a quarterback that knows everything coming into this game, makes good decisions, knows where to go to the football, and can be selectively aggressive. Because we've seen him play very well when he's clear, clean, and confident. Is he clear, clean, and confident heading into this game Thursday night? Has he reached that point in Mike Yurcich's offense? So if you get good Sean Clifford, I think Penn State has overwhelming talent compared to Purdue. With Brandon Dean and what James Franklin talked about with the fact that I was reading today he might be nicked up. Brandon Dean, the defensive tackle, is one of their only pass rushers. A lot of what Purdue and their cover zero and all those things, that is all based on pressure. And if you don't have George Karlaftis, they lost both, not just Karlaftis, they lost both of their top pass rushers from last year.
Yes, they did. Yep.
So I don't know where that pressure's coming from. Scotty Humpich, he's a really interesting player coming from Murray State. I think he's got quickness and speed. But Murray State versus Olufashanu is very different. So pressure and quarterbacks is going to be a big part of this game, I think. And if Penn State's quarterback plays cool, calm, and collected, and you can force O'Connell to make some of those mistakes that he's willing to make, he's willing to throw the football out there, then Penn State can get up early with Vanny Diaz and this aggressive defense making all that happen. So who gets the pressure and which quarterback plays best in that situation?
Because what cover zero means, they're going to blitz, blitz, blitz. Going to get a lot of man.
Yep.
So
yes,
you know,
and that leads to a lot of big plays.
You got to pick it up. You pick it up. You beat your guy. You got it. Sounds simple, but then again, that's always been my MO. All right.
Steve, I love that you are so consistent. You are such a rock.
D, always great to have you on the show, my friend.
Appreciate it. I'm looking forward to Thursday.
Voice talking about Drew Aller.
You know, T. Frank says it perfectly, only because he's worked with you for a while, too. You are very consistent.
Something to be said for it. But always remember, I actually do see more than most. How about that?
Yes, definitely.
That leads to your consistency. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Dave Cecchini. We'll talk with him final half hour. And avoid the A's took 2 out of 3. Tell me, at least, did Garrett Cole
get the lingerie on the deck? Call the janitor.
Oh, he did. No, he was great. He only allowed a hit.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because, it was an easy team, and he excels there. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You guys probably saw, you know, with Barney, you know, how that played out, but he's earned that. You know, he's our starting punter and has done a really nice job. I think there's good competition at that position. I do think there's good depth at that position, but Barney will handle our punting. And then kickoff, the competition there is going to continue. So we're gonna rotate every kick between Sander and Gabe.
There isn't a single person that heard that. Once he said something about Drew, that ended it. Right?
Well, for me, this was my number two because I was so happy that I got his scholarship and he's been on a roll.
The scholarship thing was great. That was awesome.
That was really cool. I mean, you get it from Eli Manning, then you're named the starter. That's a pretty good couple of days for you.
Well, I was kidding around today with Chris Stahl, and I said, because Chris got his scholarship in 20, but it was during COVID. I said, so Drew Hartlob got his from Jack Ham. Barney got his from Eli Manning. You got yours from a Zoom call. But they all count. Did the suit ever get that bowling scholarship?
Good question.
I think I already have the answer.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
There you go. Doug from Wellsboro was kidding about the big deal. The only time I have a big deal in my house is on payday. All right, let's get to Bucknell football. Now, all this brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Dave Cicchini joins us. Dave, welcome back. It's so great to hear your voice again.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. How would you characterize your camp?
Outstanding. I'd give it an A+ if I were one of our professors on campus. We are really excited. The changes that we made with all of the injuries we endured in last season, really forced us to take a real long, hard look at how we've been doing things here and what we can do to make our team more durable and just more healthy. And we instituted a ton of changes. No, nothing major, but a lot of small, tiny things. It's really paid off. And while you can never eliminate, the threat of injury, you know, either in practice or on Saturdays in the fall, I think we've done an outstanding job. And the result of that is, you know, we're 25 practices in here so far in August, and we're very healthy. We're as healthy a team as I've ever been a part of.
Okay, you'll make some small changes and tweaks. Of all of them that you made, what was actually the toughest one for you to really wrestle with and say, yeah, we do need to tweak that, but boy, I hesitate because it's been so reliable for me?
Yeah, I tell you what, and I guess it might show my age a little bit, but one of the things that we did this year, I've never done it before, is we moved our mornings back to give our players an extra hour of sleep. I grew up in my days of playing college football, we had two or three practices a day, and you were up at the crack of dawn and hitting the ground running. But just with the importance of nutrition, hydration, and rest, and just kind of the natural, a 19, 20-year-old, they're just kind of not built. Most of them aren't built to get up at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning. So that was a tough pill for me to swallow, to sit there and say, okay, we're going to let these guys sleep in. And again, we're not letting them sleep in the noon or anything like that. But we're starting our day. We're doing our breakfast at 8 a.m. instead of 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. And that was a tough one. You know, so something just as simple as that kind of goes against, you know, almost every fiber of your being as a coach to sit there and say, yep, hey, let's just let these guys sleep in.
Yeah, I know. I know. Believe me, I know. Now, depth is obviously something that you had to wrestle with last year. It's just the circumstances of injuries, banged up. You never used it as an excuse. But do you feel like you have more depth this season? And because maybe you do, were you a little more physical in the preseason because you felt you had more depth?
Yeah, there's no question we have more depth. And that's part of that is because, you know, we now have three recruiting classes, so our numbers are bigger. We have more guys on the team than we ever have before. But just, you know, when you go through a season where so many guys were injured a year ago, you know, a positive that you can take from that is you have a lot of players that return who, if they haven't started in at least one college football game, they've had significant playing time. And so we've got kind of a combination of both of those factors happening, and it leads to a point where, you know, one of the discussions I had with our team at the end of one of our practices last week was getting them to understand, hey, you might not be the starter right now. Maybe you started three or four or five football games last year. That was on a 1-10 football team, and you might find yourself a second teamer, or in some cases, maybe even a third teamer. That's tough for you. I get it, but you have to understand that's great for our football team. You know, we are blessed now not only to be healthy, but to have a lot of depth at most of our positions. So to sit there and look at your depth chart and say, hi, I've got a starter who's played a lot of football. I've got a second team guy who started four, five, six games. I got a third team guy that maybe even started a game or two. You know, we're loaded in that respect. So it's definitely a good feeling to have.
All right, so let's get to the quarterback part, because the circumstances last year, I believe you started three different guys along the way. So it's not like you don't have experience there. Sorry, Dave. Am I right about that?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. So what did it mean to how you crafted a decision as to who would get the reps first and the most reps along the way?
Yeah, so we started out keeping it very equal. You know, we were able to get lots, again, because we were deep at so many positions, we were able to get lots of snaps of team or 7-on-7. And we tried to keep it, because coming out of the spring, we didn't have a obvious starter. Everybody worked hard over the summer and came back, and it was a great competition. And you know, you take very careful statistics of how each quarterback does in a team period or in a 7-on-7 period, and in the end, we made a tough decision, but we decided to go with Ethan Grady, who's been our most consistent quarterback here throughout the preseason, and he's earned the call, the nod here for our first game against Towson.
When did you start to get the sense of that consistency and that level kind of play? Did it take a week and a half? How long did it take?
I would say it was 3 weeks. It was a very close contest. Again, we have a lot of quarterbacks, three quarterbacks who played significant playing time last year, and it probably wasn't until about 6 days ago that we sat there and as an offensive staff and said, okay, here's where we're at, and we took a look at it, and we made that decision.
Last year, your defense had a lot of pressure on it along the way. What kind of job do you need from your offense so that you are playing the kind of complementary football that wins for you?
Yeah, well, we need more consistency just in terms of extending drives. You know, when we scored points a year ago, a lot of time, you know, it would be relatively quickly, which is great. Hey, a score is a score. You love it.
Right.
But we were typically, you know, hey, we were going four plays and we would get a touchdown, or we'd go three and out. We didn't have a lot where our defense was resting on the sideline while the offense was grinding out, you know, your typical, you know, 10-play, 80-yard drive, 75-yard drive, where you're going 4 or 5 yards at a clip and wearing your opponent down on their defense while your defense is resting on the sideline. That's a consistency that naturally came from the fact that we were starting a different offensive line each week. We were starting a different quarterback. We had different guys playing different positions, and now all of those guys are basically 99% of those are on offense are back from a year ago. And so there is a little bit better consistency that's going along the confidence, the experience, the guys who have been through the fire before. So that's something that we're expecting to get out of our offense.
Dave, I mean, obviously you've had to go through some trials and tribulations as a coach along the way. Look, you don't want to. You'd like to go in with depth, all pistons firing, the whole deal. In a lot of ways, how's it improved you as a coach that you've had to be so creative?
Well, I always say this. It sounds kind of backwards, but you grow the most as a coach in the tough years, in the lean times, facing adversity. I told our players at the beginning of this year, I've had the privilege of being a part of 7 football teams who have gone undefeated in the regular season or just lost one game. And to be honest, a couple of those really, really good football teams that I was a part of as a coach, I didn't grow a whole lot as a coach because there wasn't much of a need for my services. We had great players who were able to handle things themselves, and we didn't see much adversity during the year, and as a result, you don't grow as much. But it's through the tough times when you have to come up with creative solutions. You have to push yourself. You have to get out of your comfort zone. Think outside the box, re-examine every aspect of what you're doing that you truly do grow the most.
Also, you mentioned the number of years you've now been at Bucknell. So these players are guys that you recruited, right? With all due respect to some players that were there when you got there, what has that meant for your leadership because you have been the coach with the same guys the entire time?
Well, I think it means that our guys are very comfortable because we've had a fairly consistent message since our staff arrived here 4 seasons ago, and that is, to build a championship program, you have to earn it, and you have to act like a champion, and that is the message right from day one. To build a championship program and to do it the right way, you build a solid foundation, and you keep building upon that, and you develop your players, and we've been able to do that, and that has gotten us to that point where we're still not there. We're still one more year away until we truly have a group of young men who are 100% been around and know exactly what we're doing. So, but we've come so far, it should be reflected in our performance this year, particularly with if how things have gone through this August camp is in the indication. So we're really, really excited about that.
This is a slightly dangerous question only because you might leave a name out here or there. And like when it's over with, geez, I wish I'd mentioned him. But I'll ask it anyway. Is there a guy or two that from the time you saw him in the spring and then you saw him at camp, they made a profound move forward in terms of what they're doing out there?
Wow, yeah, there are a number of them. A lot of the growth that has happened with our football team has come just from a strength standpoint, building strength, adding weight, muscle, because, having played 2 seasons and, this past year, playing last fall, but also the spring prior, that meant that you lost a lot of time in the weight room. You are lifting weights when you're in season, but it's at roughly 50% the load that it would normally be. And another way of kind of looking at it is really you're lifting and working out to maintain your strength, not to improve it. And so to have so many guys on the offensive and defensive line in particular step up and utilize that full off-season strength and conditioning program that really started in December of last year and has progressed all the way up until this week, it's great to see. Now, there have been other guys who have grown, and otherwise, I think it's manifested itself in a lot of different ways that you might not think about. I think one, I'll single out our kicker, Ryan Schatzel, who has added a good 5 to 10 yards on his kickoffs just from that going through that strength development cycle. And you know, a year ago he was a really accurate kicker, but we probably weren't, you know, super excited about him kicking anything deeper than maybe a 42, 43-yard field goal. And now without any wind, he's knocking them in from 50 yards away. So it helps you in so many different aspects. It's great to see it, like I said, kind of manifest itself out on the field in the way of, you know, better play.
And but I know that's a tough question because you don't want to leave anybody out. I want to ask you finally this. From a mental point of view, what has normalcy meant? Because you're playing one season after having a spring practice. And think, what has that meant?
Well, I think that's an interesting question, Steve, because if you think about it, all of our rising, the seniors, the juniors, sophomores, and even our incoming freshmen, they don't know what normalcy means because the pandemic is old enough. So you can trace back to our seniors on the team right now had their spring ball interrupted right before their freshman year spring was supposed to start. That's when the pandemic hit and Bucknell closed down and everybody went home. So this is our first time of having a normal schedule, of having a predictable schedule, about being able to plan long term. So I think the benefits of that, you know, is still yet to be seen. But, you know, everything that we're going through here is just a little bit different than it was the, you know, last fall or last spring or last winter. It's just something that's new for all of our guys. So, so yeah, time will tell in that regard.
You and I know what it means, and you probably had to feel better about it. So,
absolutely, absolutely,
Dave. Absolute pleasure. Good luck with Towson this week. It's a tough non-conference schedule you have, and I wish you the best of luck.
Great, thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Dave Cicchini, head football coach at Bucknell, will come back. Wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Jake is our field goal kicker. He's earned that throughout camp. He's had a really strong camp. I'm really proud of him. I used him as an example with the team the other day, talking about a guy, you know, in today's day and age, you know, with the transfer portal, here he is as a guy who's a two-year starter for us and then ends up, you know, losing his starting role and doesn't just run to the transfer portal at first sign of adversity, stays and sticks it out. And here he is, one of our leaders on our team.
Again, nobody heard that.
Now, in this case, yes.
Was that after?
I believe so, yeah.
Was it? Okay. Again, you got to do it in a game. You can only judge on what's gone on in practice, and Jake had a really, really good preseason. But again, now it has to happen in the game. Okay? I mean, it really is what... You know, what it does come down to. And you go from there. But I'm glad he talked about it. He talked about some of the transfers, like Hunter Norzad. He's going to play a lot. Chop Robinson's going to play a lot. They've done a really good job, and this may be something I bring up with James on the talk show tomorrow night. But I think what's something you have to do a really good job with is you have to do a really good job of vetting your transfers. Because what's the first question I want to know when a guy's transferring? Why? So I got to figure out why. Is this somebody like just is always dissatisfied? Is this somebody who's always restless? Is it somebody that is stuck in a spot they don't think they can get out of? You know, for example, you know, I'm the number two guy, and I've got two veterans in front of me. I may never pass. I mean, something. That's why the part about the quarterback thing is always cracks me up. Like, people sit there and go, oh, why don't you get a transfer quarterback? Exactly which transfer quarterback goes in with the idea they're going to be the number two guy? They're only transferring because they want to play. They want to be the first guy. You look at Charlie Brewer, transferred from Baylor, where he's not going to be the starter, after starting. He's not going to be the starter. He goes to Utah. He starts. Third game gets replaced. Leaves. Transfers to Liberty. He's the starter. That is what you're looking at. That's what, with quarterbacks, they're trying to find a place to start. But I want to know why they're transferring. And Penn State, for the most part, it's not perfect, but for the most part, they've done a good job of vetting transfers. Getting Arnold Ebiketie to come in to play the way he did. Eric Wilson did a good job. I think Norzad's a better player than Eric. I think that really helps. Robinson's really going to help the pass rush. He knows how to play, and he fits in really well. Chop does in this team. He fits in really well with the other players, with the coaching staff, with the culture of it. Johnny Dixon's a guy that's going to play a big role. Now, he's not a new transfer. He transferred in last year. But Johnny Dixon's a good player. And again, it goes back to Pinniger. Pinniger did not transfer. Stout won the job last year, and Pinniger stayed. Again, the kind of guy that if you're a Penn State fan, you got to root for somebody like that. He stayed. He didn't pack the bags right away and take off. And he had a really, really good preseason. But, again, you've got to do it in games now. So, it's an interesting time. Yeah, I will do the show tomorrow. I'll do a show on Wednesday. I will not be doing the show Thursday. And I have my feet up in my room waiting. In fact, you know what I'm going to do to make you and the suit feel better?
What's that?
Pace.
Okay.
No, probably not. I'll probably get out and get lunch. See how everything's going. There may be something Jack and I have to do. Football asked us to do something. We may have to do that. Although that, it was still kind of loose on Saturday when they asked me about it. But we may, there's something before the game. We may have to speak to a group before the game.
Well, I'll take care of everybody on game day.
Good. Go for it. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. Look for that rating spike. Got a lot going on tomorrow, including Jerry Dulac tomorrow.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is the service at Purdy Insurance. Hi, this is Season. While the world is constantly changing, Purdy Insurance is dedicated to providing you with the highest level of service to protect you, your family, and your business. Give us a call today at 570-286-5855. Go to our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.